have a message here from someone saying Peter, the water resources minister and BW officials have repeatedly said that rainfall does not immediately replenish the water aquifer. It takes about 90 days for water to percolate through the limestone. I love that word. Limestone cap to reach the aquifer. There may be some increased water in wells from surface water flowing into them directly. However, that may not be sufficient to maintain a constant flow of water to homes over the medium to long-term basis. So I guess this is a suggestion that what we're seeing in terms of the relief that has happened since Sunday may very well be runoff that may very well in the long-term not materialize for another 90 days. And I appreciate the comment from persons. Good morning, Peter. Can you please tell me if there's a problem in the port? Someone went to pick up a barrel and was told that they found mice dropping in the shed and there was no one working. It started yesterday and it still has not been resolved. So there are mice droppings in the shed, I see. Not mice dropping, it was no S. Yeah, so mice droppings in the shed. Got you. Donna Brastocks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, sir. How are you doing, Alvin? Good to hear you.
I am fine.
Good, good.
I want to raise three issues with you. I hope you'll give me the time.
Go right ahead, sir. Go right ahead.
I'll be as fast as possible.
Yeah.
No, but before I get to them, first of all...
Go straight to them, Alvin. Go straight to them.
Maybe just a minute now, Peter.
Oh, gosh. Alvin, you always called to pick a fight. Go straight to the issues now.
Before I get to the issue, I would just like to let you know that it wasn't one lawyer dealing with the waterworks issue.
Several.
15 lawyers and lawyer firms.
15?
1-5.
Wow, okay.
That is what was said by someone dealing with the waterworks issue. Mm-hmm. They say that they're going after these people and there are 15 lawyers and lawyer firms. That's one. Let me move on out to why I call. Can you help me? When did Mr. Brown for Antigua break the news to Barbados? How many months ago that the Barbados government and the Antigua government is in discussions where the shares is concerned? How many months ago?
Sir, I don't remember.
You know, it's almost a year.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. Now, this government was in power for 2 years and about a month. Now, as far as I understand, being a business person, once till I lose my vision, when Mr. Brown broke the news about buying Barbados shares, that means that there were discussions going on before he broke the news. Because it was said then that you don't do things like that. You deal with things behind the scenes before you come public. But at that time, Mr. Brown gave the impression that it's being prolonged too much and he would like to get settled. Which at that time, I think, Barbados was asking for $45 million. Do you remember that? To sell the shares?
Mm. Yes, sir, I remember.
Okay. So you don't have an idea how many months ago that is?
I don't.
I get into the point, you know, I just ease into what I want to say. Mm. Then, can you remember which member of parliament said that Leah is doomed? Because you're the man in news. Don't tell me. You say everything to Guyana and St. Kitts and Antigua.
I don't remember who it was. Who it was that said Leah is doomed?
Listen to me, Peter Wickham.
You
are not going to let me call names on the radio that you know and you're calling. Because everything that happened in Guyana, you know. You want to tell me you know who said that Leah doomed?
I don't remember,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. Let me ask you this again. All of this is Leah. I got three, and Leah is the first. Do you remember there was a plane at the airport for weeks on top of weeks? A white plane?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly a beige fly went on it?
It did? I didn't realize it had a fly.
With Peter Wickham, right. Anything to do with Barbados since the 24th of May, you got short memories for.
Man, that's why I get old. I lost in my memory.
Listen, I called Corey Worrell about it.
He a remember?
No, he's no longer on the air. I called a gentleman on Slam about it. I called Peter Wickham twice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me you can't remember a plane?
I can't remember.
A plane at the airport, a white plane. Now I'm visually impaired, so you know, I hear that you're white. Okay. And then after time, the plane suddenly
disappeared.
Left the country.
Yeah.
You know where it went?
It went back to St. Vincent.
Okay. All right.
It's not in St. Vincent anymore, no, though.
But listen to what I'm telling you. Take this from me. Because I always, all my life, I like going to be older people than myself. Besides, then I get to the age, I start training young people. Old people always tell you, you can hide and buy land, but you can't hide and work it.
Right.
This layer issue that we're going through now, it started last month, now in the last 4 or 5 months. This started everything. And we got to find out who was behind it from the beginning and where it's going. Because at the end of the day, where I am concerned, I don't see it and it's not nice. Let me move to another one. Now, a couple months ago, Straker Stenetry, your number one man, asked a moderator how soon the park in Fairway Street will be available to the public. And the moderator at that time, very involved in that project, told him December. Now, I know they had the coronavirus this last about 3 months. So it can be December now. It got to be, let's say, April, May for this park to open. Mr. Wickham, knowing that you're so close to the government, you see a plan for it?
For the park? No, I haven't seen a park.
You know where you could go and get a...
I don't know where you can go. I don't know.
Sorry?
I don't know where you can go and see it. I don't know.
So you're telling me, Mr. Wickham, that a park that was scheduled to finish by December, there's no plan out there that the people about this go look at?
Well, either that or maybe I'm not as close to the government as you may think I was.
And let me tell you why I'm very, very suspicious about this whole thing. This administration have so much advisors, so much ministers. And I go to bed all the time, I be studying. Well, how the planning, how the thinking, everything the same to Parliament coming back. All 28, 29 the Parliament stamping it. Pass, pass, pass. And as you get to Senate, frankly, Ms. Taylor, Ms. Drakes, Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Boyce, boom, we can't take this. I don't understand how people are being paid could be making these type of errors. Because I'm saying this park, so-called park, is located in an area whereby if you leave the bus stand, vehicles pass there all day and night. If you go to the Empire Bethel side, vehicles pass there all day and night. And then to the right and to the back is where people I like to go. Where people just hassle. Do you think that anybody that's thinking positive could take open a park there?
You say you like to go behind there to do what?
I am a Nelson Street man.
Really? To do what? What are you doing in Nelson Street?
Whatever is do is my business. I don't ask you what you do.
No, but you tell me he's going Nelson Street. And I didn't know that you were a Nelson Street man.
Well, listen to this thing. Because every time I
But let me ask you this question. If it is that you are a Nelson Street man, and if you don't be doing nothing in Nelson Street that is untoward.
From the tender age of about 16.
Right.
I was a regular man. I don't go in
Nelson Street. Then a problem. So I'm saying if it is that you have a legit right to be in Nelson Street, should people who frequent Nelson Street not have a legit right to a little bit of recreation in a park close by?
Okay,
if when they're doing nothing that in objectionable, then there's no reason why they can't have a park there.
I raise it. Let me explain to you why.
So what you could do then when you are doing whatever you are doing in Nelson Street, you can take a cool walk back to the park. And, you know, I will. We need to speak to the Prime Minister and make sure that she makes the park disabled access and there are walking lanes for people with Braille and whatnot. And then you can sit and have a drink or a little relaxation in the same park. On your way from Nelson Street.
To ease your head.
Doing whatever it is you doing in Nelson Street.
Okay. I'm old enough to do anything.
But I agree.
Mr. Wickham.
You do it well too.
Mr. Wickham, before you leave there yourself, my uncle, Mr. Zarwelli, operated a shop at the corner of Wellington Street and Nelson Street.
Right.
When he died, my cousin Richie Daniel, better known as Iron Tiger, ran the shop. I was in Nelson Street for nearly all my life.
Okay. Where y'all used to sell in the shop?
To make your story simple that you will learn. In the days when the Queen Elizabeth Hospital is on Jemmett's Lane, women going to the hospital, they walk past the fire station, back past Bethel Church, and at their street.
They used to come by your shop.
Listen, don't rush it. Before they go to Nelson Street. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, the hospital had a back entry from Nelson Street, you know. Mm-hmm. But you will not find these women going to Nelson Street at all. Mm-hmm. All of my life, certain men in Barbados, and the majority of the men, never go to Nelson Street.
Okay.
So to put air power at a location where they just do not appreciate, to me, is a joke. Let me get to my next point.
Very quickly, because you have like 30 seconds more. Right? We need to really move on. Right? The call's backed up.
All right.
Sorry, Alvin, if we can quarrel about it, we're going to have to go. So, quick point, or are we going to go?
Patrick, ain't nothing. All right. You keep it on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alvin. It's good chatting with you, and hopefully we chat again soon. Donna Brastax, good morning. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Call us on 434-1790. Remember, we're here with you until 2 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Getting cussed on the chat by keeping people for too long, so I'm trying to see if I can keep it moving now. Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome. All right. We have another one. Can I see all the lights sound lighted up? Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Victor.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? Not too bad.
Yeah, you know, last Friday, Mr.
Ellis. It's trickers. Say good. We got a double punch.
Ellis told me that you wasn't coming. That you wasn't coming this week.
No, he said I was coming this week. I wasn't coming last
week.
He said
you wasn't coming this week.
I heard him say.
And yesterday, listen to me, Mr. Victor. Yesterday, I asked him if he's coming on Friday. Told me yes. Mm-hmm. I asked him for the lineup for this week, and he refused to tell me.
I was listening to the conversation.
Yeah, I told him that I need to plan my week, see? Right. Plan my day. Anyhow, Mr. Bacon, somebody just gave you a correction there that I wanted to give you there, right?
Which is?
Because I just followed that, the water. Mm. Water. Rainwater does take 90 days or 3 months before it is accessible. So don't ever think that because water falls today, that you got hit tomorrow. It's taken 90 days to get to the aquifers.
But to the work. You didn't hear any part about the runoff?
We'll run off that, Mr. Vickham.
The runoff will create a temporary bump, but it's not sustainable over the long term.
No, Mr. Vickham. They don't pump that water.
All right,
don't even go there.
So anyhow, you go ahead.
Don't even go there, Mr. Vickham. But anyhow, Mr. Vickham, I think it's 2 months or so ago. But you was on, and the program went off with me holding on the line, right? Because there was a headline that came out in the paper that day that Miss Motley wanted a conversation with the people about the removal of Lord Nelson. And somehow you went off on a tirade. What conversation with the people were? We done pronounced on that a long time ago, somewhere around the turn of the century. So they come, I have no problem with what they want to do with Nelson. Whether they go for a referendum or not, or they just take him up and do whatever they want to do. But when it comes to the one about same-sex marriage, I want a referendum on that. Because remember, when the government changed, the first thing when they went and do is have a gay pride march.
That gay and pride march before the government changed.
And remember,
they had a gay pride march before the government changed. It was one in 2017.
The first thing that went to do after change.
Mr. Stricker's turn entry, the first gay pride march was in 2017.
Mr. Wickham, I never said it was the first. I say the first thing that the gay pride movement
the way I had it after.
Going to have the
but if you got election in May and gay pride is in June, what would you expect?
But then it's still first.
That's one of the first, but that's one of the first things you're going to do.
The first event that happened after the election was the gay pride march.
And there's an appropriate event to happen.
Exactly. Right. But remember, the church rail up and put with it in with the player.
They still rail up? So put we in anything, place?
Anything that come in on that.
The church put us in our place?
Not in with the players, below ground.
And what is the place? What is the place that the church has put us in?
When they run and hide. Yeah. But anyhow, that is one they want a referendum on.
Not a problem. So you could get that. But the reality is whether or not you get a referendum, I'm still married. Nothing can change that.
Mr. McCann, and that is your right.
Precisely. So the point I'm making to you, Mr. Straker's tenantry, is that you can have your referendum. The government of Barbados can decide on a referendum. It doesn't really matter to me because, as far as I am concerned, no referendum will determine what I do regarding the love that I express. So I am married and it can't be changed. And I know I think you may have a difficulty with it, and that's tough. So if they want to have a referendum on that, fine. I have my own views on referenda and the role to which they should be put. I have said in a larger context that I do not think that a referendum is appropriate for a situation where you're dealing with a human rights issue. So you can't have a referendum to me to decide on question of somebody's rights and privileges. But if, however, they decide to have a referendum on same-sex marriage, then so be it. I know how you'll be voting. I also know how I will be voting.
You know how I will be voting?
And regardless of how you vote or how I vote, I still married.
Mr. Wickham, don't ever go there.
And as a great man once said, a great man that you followed in the Democratic Labour Party, you can like it. Or you can lump it.
Listen, Mr. Wickham.
I think the man had a calypso about that, too.
You don't know how I would be voting.
Anyhow, Straker, let me get off of this issue, though. Seriously, let's talk about something else. Because this issue ain't going nowhere. So let me talk about something that will go somewhere. Like your views on Liat or something.
Well, my views on Liat have been established long, long ago. Long, long ago. I said, sell the shares in Liat. Long ago. Mm-hmm. When Barbados had the only international airport down this side, we was getting a lot in transit business. Now with St. Lucia got the only international airport and St. Vincent got everybody got, we can be losing it. So we didn't need to hold on to Liat anymore. Mm-hmm. My problem with it is that Ms. Montley, as soon as the government changed, or possibly even before, and just because that Gaston Brown bring it out because...
Being cut anyhow, so you can't say...
Well, if they're cutting it, let them cut it, but...
Conversation, because people are going to be listening to thin air, all right? So, Strikers, it's probably best for you to go along. I'm sorry that the last conversation that you and I will have for several months has had to end in this way, but sadly, it will. So, I can tell you, wish you all the best, and let's hope that when we speak again, we can speak in a slightly more illuminating way. Down to Brass Talks, we're on 434-1790. Remember, we go to the OCN shortly. We go to the OCN at noon. Okay, we go to the OCN at noon. Down to Brass Talks, good morning.
Mr. Pete.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How good to hear you.
You got your friend laughing at me, but I can fix the two of you.
So you're doing well?
Yes, thank you.
Good. You got back out of the church on Sunday?
Yes, please.
Lovely, lovely. All right. I went to drop my mother, so I went.
I should say we should wait. We will wait and see.
Yeah, I got a vicarious blessing.
Right. Listen, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. This gentleman said that no ladies didn't used to go down to Nelson Street.
No, he said that they used to. He said the nurses used to pass through.
That the nurses used to pass through.
Went on the way to and from work.
Right, right. That's right. Yeah. You know, when they come off from work at 9 o'clock shift, we slipped down to Nelson Street to get to the bus quickly before the bus pull out and leave us, you know?
You wouldn't stop and have a drink.
No, please. No, okay. Please. Not
I didn't
me.
Think so either.
Not me. So. Not me. The only thing my friend said that I had to drink is Bormiston on the rocks. But listen,
But Nelson Street in those days, you were talking about the days of the old hospital, eh?
Right,
the original
right.
hospital. Nelson Street hospital, in those yes. days had the same reputation it carries now?
I don't know. I can't. I don't know what I know it carries now, but I know it used to carry then. Mm. So I know it is now.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm, yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, it retired a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yesterday I was telling Mr. Ellis that the first that I would like to see, you know, everybody talking about knocking down Nelson and all sorts mm-hmm. of junk. But what I would like to see is that a statue of the first female and only Barbadian prison chief put up in Broad Street. That when they coming up or coming down Broad Street, I can see her statue there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know who she is?
I don't know who she is.
Okay. She never had a riot, a breakout, a break in, nothing saw fire, nothing saw was in her time. You get me?
And you think that warrants a statue, ma'am?
Yes.
Well, I can think first, of other women that should be there ahead of her.
Listen, she's the first and only female that was in charge of the prison.
But then you can build a statue for Prime Minister Motley.
Yes, she deserves it.
Are you going to build a statue for Danita Barrow?
Right. Any of them.
Then Donna Bob, maybe she should have a statue too?
But I stick him to Gloria.
But no, you get the point I'm making, that if you say the first woman, so you have the first prime minister as a woman, the first governor general as a woman, the first director of public prosecutions as a woman. You should have to build one to. You have to build one. You're gonna have to build one for my friend from the Association of the Blind as well,
right.
Because she was the first woman that was president of the Senate.
Right.
So she gonna have to get a statue too.
But Gloria too. Gloria.
All I say is be careful though, because if you decide that the first woman that does anything.
First woman.
Carrie-Anne Eiffel, Senator Eiffel, would have been. Right. So maybe you're going to need to make her a bit of statue of her, too. Because it seems as though if every woman gets a statue, we got a lot of firsts.
Well, yeah.
The last
true.
10 years, we had a lot of firsts.
Right, you know? Right. But look at Gloria. Mm-hmm. She and I started out that same way because AMSOs together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they call the AMSOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they call the AMSOs?
I know the AMSOs, yeah.
Right. We started out there together. And she took the exam and she went on to the prison and he went on to nursing from the old Barbados general. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
And she went right through. She do her time.
Mm-hmm.
You get me?
All right.
So you got to give it to her.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. So tell Mr. Ellis, yes, that I check.
Okay.
This is it the person herself.
Mm-hmm.
You get me?
All right. No problem.
He was trying to tell me that he think she was in charge of the women. She was in charge of the whole prison.
Thing. Somebody just telling me that you have to add Professor Eudine the most honorable Professor Eudine Barreto, as the first woman
that
led UE. And then we also have the first female priest. I don't remember her name. She has to have a statue too. Ermi Boren, the first female member of parliament. She also was.
Right, so all them will follow on.
And then somebody is saying that Gloria Bruins wasn't there long enough to deserve that. So
what?
That's I just reading, ma'am. Don't quarrel with me. I just reading.
No, I'm quarreling with you, Pete.
Right.
I'm not quarreling with you.
So somebody is saying
that
I don't think
you.
She was there for long enough. There's another person that's saying, no, they're talking about hotel construction, not thing. Anyhow.
Oh.
All right, ma'am.
All right, so you enjoy your day, okay?
Thank you very much. And it's good to hear from you. Take care. Down to Brass Stocks. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all.
Good.
Now, hearing one of your callers was saying for the South a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
I had to come to represent my neighbor.
Okay, which is?
Former neighbor, Anthony Wood.
Oh, Woody is your neighbor?
He was my neighbor.
Okay.
I grew up next door to him. And
let me just use the opportunity, sir, to set something straight, because I've been also accosted online regarding my comment about St. Philip not being my favorite parish. You think it's all right to have a favorite parish?
Well, of course. I live in Christchurch, but my favorite parish is St. Philip.
Right, there you go. But I live in St. Michael, and my favorite parish is St. Lucie.
Okay.
So it's nothing personal to the Philippines.
There's nothing wrong with this.
Right, precisely. Okay, so.
But let me say that I grew up a bit older than Mr. Wood, but with him. And when you talk about honesty, and when you talk about straight-upness, if that is a word,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about being fair, you're talking about Mr. Wood. Fellas going to break in, not me, Mr. Wood.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And if you listen to what, in the disclaimer, he wrote that he's finished with this guy, boom, 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 boom. And then in the last Sunderstone, he was very specific. And you know what he's talking about. He talked about corruption. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk about the lack of representation in St. Philip South. He didn't talk about doing nothing for nobody in St. Philip South. He was very specific, and he spoke about corruption. And that is where his concern is. And I don't feel that his discussion about corruption mm-hmm. finished when because he would have to speak to other people in the party.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a child that behaving bad, and they see it behaving bad, I can come to you. And I can complain to you. I can discuss with you about your child. So I have no doubt, knowing the thoroughness of Mr. Wood, that he would have complained to persons at the top about what was happening. No, I know it, not to Mr. Wood,
mm-hmm.
but from being close to the party, because let me tell you something, I took Philip Pilgrim 76 votes away from beating Financial and St. Philip South.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tell you that. You understand?
So the long and short of it is that you feel that he has earned the right to be critical of Indarweer.
No, I can tell you why. I can tell you some of why.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is not to do, because he as chairman, would the brush would have to touch him if anything wrong happens. But again, I ain't going to get to hit why he was being chairman. I was going to deal with BAMC. He wasn't chairman of BAMC. But you remember that man fall through the roof
mm-hmm.
at Portville Factory and died.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, and I don't know that you will be allowed to say that on the program anyhow. So you will say that to me, I'm hearing you, but I don't believe that what you're saying is going out. Sir, let's look at the politics of the situation. Do you think that politically...
Let me look at the politics.
Which is fine, not a problem. I'm saying, do you think that politically in the broader picture that Mr. Anthony Wood, who I do have considerable respect for, can have an impact, a negative impact on Indarweer's popularity?
What Mr. Wood is seeking to do is to protect
himself.
Himself. Yeah,
fair enough.
That is what Mr. Wood is seeking to do to protect himself.
But then...
Later on, you ask a question, and I can answer that question too.
Sure.
Yes.
All right. I don't think so.
I sat down. You don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this thing. I sat down, and I listened to it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I am telling you that Mr. Wood has a concern. I hear sit down and I hear people say about politicians who dishonest they are.
Mm-hmm.
You can't trust them. And I used to laugh because I knew Woody. Mm-hmm. You understand? Woody put me, he was instrumental between him and Owen Arthur, as giving a boy like me, who only have a marriage certificate and a birth certificate, a seat on the transport board.
Mm-hmm.
On the transport board. And he said to Mr. Ian Goodenagel,
mm-hmm.
we have to teach the people in this country, the Irish people, that so that they will understand politics, understand government and governance.
And you know,
thank the Lord. Wait, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
For Ian Goodenagel.
Mm-hmm.
I can read a spreadsheet. I can do so many because of Ian Goodenagel. a proper man, and I knew that when they put him back at the transport board, it was the right thing to do. And I have no doubt that in National Insurance, he's going to make his mark there too, because he has the concern of people first and foremost, like Mr. Wood. Mm-hmm. So those are my concerns. But remember that Mr. Wood's concern is a clear conscience have to act.
Yeah.
I remember when what's her name that told David Thompson, you can't come, and she was fired.
Right. And as all of that, I understand. Look, all I'm saying to you, sir, is that there's no question that Mr. Wood has to know when he has reached his own limit in terms of what he believes is his current capacity. Let's say, for example, he sees things that he is uncomfortable with. Anyone who serves on a government board, or anyone who serves on a board, period, I would advise them strongly, when you get to the point where you are not comfortable identifying with what is going on that board, then you have to leave, you have to walk. The question is, after you walk, do you then decide that you're going to turn on the people who facilitated your being there in the first place? And that's a judgment that you would have to take. He has chosen so to do, and if that is his desire, then there's no problem with that. But what I am challenging where you are concerned, sir, is the suggestion that he can undo in Darwear, or worse yet, that he can undo the Barbados Labour Party. So I'm with you up to that point. But when we get to the point of saying the political damage that he can do, I am inclined to think it is minimal, and that he may end up doing more damage to himself because he may incur the wrath of the Prime Minister. And I don't know that anyone in their right political mind would want to incur her wrath. But you get the final say on this issue, sir.
Yeah, but what political, what wrath, or what Prime Minister, what? What wrath, or what Prime Minister, what, Skipper?
No, but you were making a point. Go ahead. I told you have the last word.
I challenge anyone that if they find a piece of dirt, dig it up and throw it at him. Dig it up and throw it at him. If they find a piece of dirt, God, it'd be like digging on the sand on the Fauvea beach to find dirt.
All right, sir. Thank you for calling, and I appreciate your willingness to put your support for Mr. Anthony Wood on the line. Not a thing wrong with that, so that is good to hear that. I'm a frequent listener to the program, and the station is becoming a vessel of the current government. It becomes more subservient to powers and less relevance it will have to people. I hate to see VOB going off air, but that seems to be the path that you're on. Good luck. Another person is saying that Olga Mason should also be honored. She was the first police woman. I don't remember the lady's name, but I remember there was also the first female bus driver. And I remember a picture of her alighting from a Subaru vehicle. So she also would have to have her name included as the first bus driver. She said she went to transport board to become a conductor, and they sent her for training to drive one of those Bedford buses. So she should also be honored. The important point here is that as the program goes on, there are more names of women who have been first mentioned. And I think that we have to appreciate that being first is not necessarily always deserving of the accolade of a statue, but at the same time, it is deserving of recognition. And I think it's useful that we also acknowledge as the program goes on that there have been so many women who have been first in their fields to do everything. I remember an article with the first woman that ever drove a SSA truck. And indeed, the first woman that ever worked behind a SSA truck. I mean, that also was a major achievement. So as we look at the developments over the years, as far as gender and gender equality is concerned, there's several signposts, and this is best but one of them. Down to brass tacks, the lady's name was Pam, apparently. Pam was the first female bus driver, but the caller doesn't remember her last name, so I guess we could call her Pam. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Morning, sir.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay, it's good to hear you. I didn't recognize the voice at first.
Yeah.
I'm glad you start calling back in now. It's good that you find back the number.
Yeah, but I sometimes I feel like if I have to make a contribution, and so I will call when that time comes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I want to speak about Gaston Brown, but I also want to talk about some issues going on with the taxi men in the port. The Prime Minister, in her wisdom, in all her wisdom, and believe me, she's full of it, wisdom. When the passengers from those cruise ships were being transported from the port to the airport, the bus gurus did all the work transporting those people from the port to the airport. But now, the Prime Minister has decided that the passengers on board the ship, not the passengers, sorry, the crew members on board the ship, that, you know, she would let them come off to get some R&R and take them around the country and thing. Would you believe that those same bus people who took the people from the airport, from the seaport to the airport, they want to do that too? Then they got small men there with ZMs that didn't get none of that work transporting the people to the airport because it would have taken too much of them, so they transported them with them big buses. But now it is time for the small buses, the ZMs, and the small taxis to get some of that work, to transport the people around the country to get some recreation. The people with the big buses want to feed in on that too. I think that's unfair and greedy. And I think that the minister should see that it don't happen and allow them ZMs in the port. They ain't them as people too. They ain't going to feed the family. They ain't going to feed the children, send school to children. They ain't going to do everything, right? And they should be given a share of the pie.
This is to do what, though? You said to move around the country?
Yes, the crew members on the ships, mm-hmm, that are stuck on the ships and they are COVID-free.
Mm-hmm.
It is the intention is to let those people come off and go around the country, driving around and have some rest and recreation, right, to the beaches and that kind of thing. Right? But the point I'm making, Peter, is that the people with the big buses, they want to do that work as well. Then that work should be not going to the ZMs because the ZMs didn't get any work taking the passengers to the airport from the seaport.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand the point I'm making.
That's not unreasonable.
So it is only fair to those ZM drivers, mm-hmm, in the port and taxi drivers to get some of that pie. It would be unfair for them to not to get any, but you give even that the people with the big buses. Now, moving on. I hear Gaston Brown talking a lot of things that I want to know how a man can become so vindictive. I hear him saying that the people people with these planes that you know now about went to the plane graveyards and take all parts off of planes that the damage
that said that?
Fly again. Huh?
He said that?
Yes, you understand
him,
man.
Say that, man.
Man, Peter, you listen to the man.
My brother, you telling lies for the man. He didn't say that.
Man, I tell you what the man...
He said it's rinky-dink airlines, but he didn't say that they were in a graveyard or pick or nothing.
But that's what he said, Peter.
I didn't hear that.
That at the went to the plane graveyard to call parts off of planes that will never fly again to fly people over ocean with one-engine planes and all that kind of nonsense. And he went on to say... And he went on to say that Liat got an excellent record.
Mm-hmm.
They might got a good record, but it's not what we try to project. Because I remember a Liat take off from Arnoldsville and went down. And to this day, they never found that plane. You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember a time a Liat plane?
It was a Liat Twin Otter, I think. Yeah.
Pardon?
I think it was a Twin Otter. I don't know if it was a Twin Otter, a Liat.
But it was a Liat. Wherever it was a Liat. Yeah. Right? And a Liat plane, the blades from a Liat plane chopped somebody's head in half like a calabash at Grandy Adams. You remember that too?
I thought the person was slashed. I didn't realize the word slashed in half.
But the head. The person died, Peter.
Okay.
You remember that?
I don't remember that. No, I'm a young person, you know. I'm only 52.
Yeah.
I'm old at you.
Yeah, but you know about Columbus, though.
Because I read about it, yeah.
I know about the man that you said I got to take down, Nelson,
mm-hmm,
right? But, no, I hear this man talking, and he sound like he was offended by the things that came out of the media.
But Brains, he was offended. I think it was obvious when you read his letter that he's offended because he feels that he is being set up.
But Peter, you know why he's offended? Because whenever it is all said and done, it is politics on his part. Because what he is trying to do, the way I'm reading him, what he is trying to do is to keep Liat in Antigua, to keep Antigua's employed, and to keep him in the prime ministership. That's all it really is, you know. And he would do anything, or say anything, to keep it that way.
But let me ask you if, as prime minister of Antigua and Barbuda, does he not have a right and indeed a responsibility to look out for the interests of Antigua and Barbuda?
Yeah, but his responsibility goes wider than that.
But no, but I'm saying in the first instance, if you're saying that he is looking out for Antigua's headquarters because that's how he keeps people employed and that's how, but the reality of the situation is that that's his job as Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda.
Yes, but Peter, his responsibility goes wider than that. Don't forget, he said one time that they're moving Liat from Antigua over his dead body. Don't forget, he said that already, you know. Mm-hmm. And his only interest is to keep Liat in Antigua, so that he could keep Antigua's employed, and by doing that, he would be able to hold on to the prime ministership. There's one thing in here he said I agree with, and that's when he said that if when Liat starts back, if it starts back, people who contribute to Liat would have, people who don't contribute to Liat would have to contribute to Liat if they want the service, because it is spending big. Them big airlines that come from America to run into their country and the ones from Europe. Millions of dollars, and they don't want to pay even $100,000 to Liat, that Liat, to keep in the air, but they want Liat to come to their country. You ain't allowed to?
I hear that, yeah.
Right. So that's what I agree with. So if, and I've been saying for the longest time that if you want Liat to come to your country, you got to become a member of the Liat clan, where you will make your contribution, so that wherever Antigua, wherever Dominica, St. Kitts, Barbados, Grenada, wherever they appear, you pay to, or you would simply not get the service.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to refer, you're going to then look to get a ferry out to Europe and bring on here and run through the islands.
The problem, though, is that it doesn't work as easily as that. And I agree that all the members should, because that's my position, all the members should participate and contribute.
Financial
if you decide that you do not want to fly to St. Lucia, you are also impacting negatively on people who are in Antigua that want to go to St. Lucia.
Yeah,
the point is that it's not as easy as saying you won't get the service. The fact of the matter is the service that I may want as an Antiguan is to fly to St. Lucia. So if you are denying St. Lucia a service as receiving country, you're also denying me the service because I need to get there.
Well, you will fly the closest point to St. Lucia on Liat, mm-hmm. and then find your way to St. Lucia by some other mode of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying, because Gaston Brown seemed like a troubled
mm-hmm.
child.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Peter, let me close by saying this.
All right.
I would like Andine Clark from Church Vision in St. Philip to call me. She listened to this program, and she will hear this. So I want her to call me, please.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot for calling, sir.